So, question for the room. Anyone remember that time that our entire world had to wear face masks for about a year? Right? A couple years ago? Have we just completely blocked that out of our memory? It was a pretty interesting time in our world, right? For a year, maybe a little longer, we all had to wear face masks really to go anywhere. And I don't know about you guys, but I think that because we had to wear them for so long, that when we started to not wear them anymore and the mandates were kind of lifted, that I had forgotten a lot of social norms as far as facial expressions go. I was definitely the person underneath the mask that I just let that mouth hang wide open. Like I'm just, if there's drool coming out, I don't care. No one can see it. If I'm wanting to frown, I'm frowning because no one can see it. If there's a booger in your nose for a year, literally no one knew. Some of you guys still don't really take that seriously. You got like the bat in the cage there, but no one knew for an entire year because the bottom half of your face was covered. And so when we came out of that time, we kind of had to reset a lot of our habits and the things that were socially acceptable because now everyone can see the entirety of your face. Okay, you have to kind of smile when you're passing people, otherwise it looks aggressive and mean, right? You can't just frown or let your mouth hang wide open as you're walking around in public because it looks odd. So you kind of had to adjust and kind of reframe thinking, reframe your habits. And when I think about the book of James and the letter that he's writing, I think similarly in this way. It's as if he's looking at the believer, at the Christian, and saying, hey, you are made new. Your life should look different. An entire world, an entire group of people is watching you, and it should point to something bigger than yourself. It should point back to the Lord. And there's a responsibility now as a believer to look different than the rest of the world. He's calling followers of Jesus to become wise, to be set apart in how they love God and how they love people, and ultimately how this translates to our everyday lives, reminding us over and over that there's a world that sees us and we are representatives of Christ. We bear the name of Jesus. And it should cause the way that we speak, that we act, that we think to look different. So today, I wanna look at the last half of the first chapter of James. Last week, Andy did an incredible job going over the first part. If you didn't get a chance to listen, highly, highly recommend. But we're gonna be camped out in the last part of the book of James, or first chapter of James, starting in verse 19. We're gonna unpack some major truths about what it looks like to both hear the word, but also do the word. We're gonna look at different commands followed by the why behind the command. And we're gonna see how obedience is the hallmark of being a true child of God. That a changed life, changed words, changed actions reflect a heart that is being transformed. So if you will, turn with me to that first chapter of James, and we're gonna start in verse 19, reading all the way through verse 27. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. James often begins his addresses, if you will, to his readers by regarding them really fondly. He begins talking here by saying, my beloved brothers. He regards them with affection and with care, but he is speaking to the believer here, the person that has chosen to give everything and follow Jesus. So while he regards them kindly, he also is gonna set the bar really high. And he's gonna talk very directly and very boldly. My first point that we can draw from this text tonight is that we're called to be doers of the word. Be doers of the word. The word being, I wanna break kind of down what that even means. The word that is talked about here is something we can reference back even to John 1 and see where it talks about the word became flesh, the word dwelt among us. He's referencing Jesus here, right? At this time that James is writing this, they don't have all of scripture put together neatly in a Bible like you and I have. But he's referencing what Jesus has done and a life that should, what a life should look like following Jesus. And now we can hear that kind of as twofold. We get to look at the example that Jesus has set in scripture, but we also get to look at the entirety of scripture that's laid out, the living, breathing word of God. And we're called to be doers of this word, to follow along in its example, to listen and obey the commands given in scripture. The word doer here, broken down just in its original context, means a maker, a producer, an author. You take something and you're producing something else. The first Christmas that Lewis and I were together, we were just dating, and I think I was just still trying to impress him, I don't know. But we were together and it was Christmas time and I was thinking, what could I get him as a gift? And my mind just had this idea. I was like, he loves cornhole. I can make him cornhole boards. I'm not a DIY person. I'm not a Joanna Gaines of this world. I really don't know how to do anything like that. But I thought to myself, I can do it. Can't be that hard. I didn't even make the boards, okay? I bought the boards as they come, like just the raw kind of untouched boards. And I got all the sandpaper, I got all the staining, I got all the tape, I got the paint, I got everything that I would need to make these boards. And for those of you in the room that are experienced, 3 hours tops. This is not a hard job. You could do this easily in an afternoon. This took me like a month to knock out. Right? I kept it at my dad's house because I'm like, I have to go work in his garage in the freezing cold. It was December of 2020. And so I'm like freezing cold. All the ice storms had just hit. I'm in the garage with gloves on, a giant jacket, working on this for weeks on end. And I finally had this finished project. I delivered it to him. He loved it. And for a while was under this impression that I could really do like awesome things like that. Now he knows me and I don't do anything like that. I'm, like I said, not a DIYer. But all that to say, right, it feels good to take things, to take products and to make something, to produce something out of those. It would have looked entirely different had I just bought all of the things, bought the board, bought the stain, bought the tape, but never actually put them together and produced something. And it felt good, I felt accomplished. That's exactly what James is calling us to here. Be a doer of the word. The first string of commands are found in verse 19. It says, be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Quick to hear. Have you ever been around someone who's just really great at listening? Right, you're telling a story, they just seem engaged. They're asking all the right questions. They don't have the glossed over foggy look that you get when you're bored. They're engaged, they're with you, they're hooked up. It's a beautiful experience. It makes you feel valued and cared for. Like I love being around people that are great listeners, right? Because it's just like, oh, you're as into this as I am. Be quick to hear. It's exactly what scripture is talking about here. Be quick to hear what God's speaking. Be quick to hear his word. Be quick to engage the community around you. And then right after that, he says, be slow to speak. Proverbs 17:27, whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. A life submitted to Jesus should pursue wisdom, and wise living is exemplified by someone that can control their tongue and not speak or respond out of emotion or frustration. I actually found a funny quote. It said, there was a tribute paid once to a great linguistic or just someone that's studying languages, linguist. And it says that this person claimed that he could be silent in 7 different languages. I was like, man, I want that to be my life story, right? I wanna be such a good listener. I can be silent in 7 different languages. But be slow to speak. When we're quick to speak, often we're infusing something with our own opinion, our own thought. And it might be something that's based out of emotion rather than truth. That's what he's warning against here. Be slow to speak. And then thirdly, be slow to anger. Why? Why all of these commands back to back to back in the way that they are? We talked about it. There's gonna be commands and then there's always just gonna be a why. That's the way that James writes. So why these commands? Well, as we move into verse 22, we see that answer. He says, quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. The anger of man doesn't produce the right living that God calls us to. Colossians 3:17, it says that whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. We're called into this right living. And it says that if we are to follow these things, we can walk in that. But if we are to allow anger to rule our lives, it doesn't produce this righteousness that God asks of us. The person of Jesus was many things, many beautiful things. He was complex. But something that he was not was a man that responded out of sinful emotion. Man's anger doesn't produce a life that points to the holiness of God. Proverbs 29, 22, an angry man stirs up dissension and a hot-tempered one commits many sins. He's saying this all and reminding us that it only does so good for us to hear this command and not actually put it into practice. Again, be doer of the word, hear this command, put it into practice. I mean, it takes 5 seconds to look at the world around us and see the consequences of not living these specific commands out. We look at a world that's slow to listen, quick to speak, and therefore filled with anger and aggression. Every person that's pushing their own agenda, and it's not marked by love. It's not marked by grace and compassion. Verse 19 of James 1 was one of the first few verses that I had committed to memory, and I recite in my head, if not daily. And it's not because I'm some holy person that knows scripture. It's just because I don't live these things out. These short, quick punches to the gut are things that are really hard for me to live out. I am the person described just a second ago, the slow to hear, quick to speak, and quick to become angry. And so I've got to have this on a reel in my head daily. So I'm constantly reminded of the commands God's given me and to do them, not just hear them, because they produce right living. If I'm to walk in it, it produces right living. Be a doer of the word and allow it to produce this righteousness of God that comes out of you in your speech and in your actions. So first point, be doers of the word. My second point tonight is this, be doers of the word. We are really gonna camp out here tonight. We're gonna nail this point in, okay? If anything, you're gonna walk away knowing this is what James is saying here, and this is what I believe the message is from the Lord tonight. Be doers of the word. I'm making it easy for you note takers out there. 21, therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. I had to throw this in here that I found the old King James version somehow, randomly, of this verse in particular. And what it says here is that we're called to lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and then receive with meekness. I was like, oh my gosh, old King James, just really putting it out there. Run away from naughtiness, pursue filthiness. Throw off filthiness, lay apart filthiness and wickedness, and move away from those things. We're not owned by them anymore. We're not falling into them anymore like we did when we were bound in our sin and in our depravity. We are to lay these things off and look different than we used to look. When we walked in hopelessness, these are the things we were bound to. But the language that it says here is to strip yourself of all filthiness, as if you were taking off some sort of clothing item, the dirty clothes that you had soiled, and you're putting on something new, exchanging it for something better. I was a nutrition major in college, and a couple of the labs we had, although I worked with food and I love food and I love making food, I hate the feel of raw chicken or raw meat when you're opening the packages. I just absolutely hate it so much. And a couple of the labs I had to do in college, because we were just the grunt work people and you just kind of had to, you know, work your way through the class, was I remember this one in particular where they just would plop all, like literally pounds and pounds of raw chicken on this table. And it was my job to just like cube it and cut it into little pieces. And I've never been more excited to get home and strip off literally everything that I had and want to burn it. But anyways, move on into different clothing so not have to be in that. And that's exactly the type of language, if you will with me, that it's talking about here. Strip off the old, strip off the things that you once lived in and walk anew and look different. Put on different clothing. Exchange it for something that is righteous and good and holy. Ephesians 4, 22 through 24 echoes this message. It says, put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desire, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on new self, created in the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. We were one way ruled by the passions of our flesh and of our sin. And now we are called to holy living, and we throw off the filth, we throw off the wickedness. And then the next command says that we are to receive with meekness the implanted word, that we are to take hold of. It's an action. Receive this with meekness, with humility. It describes this implanted word as something that's taken root like a seed in our heart. And all plants, all things that are built into the ground, planted into the ground, and growing up from the soil will die if not tended to. And so we are called to tend to and care for and apply the word, the implanted word in our heart, so that we will grow and increase spiritually. It does us no good to hear these things and not actually put them into practice. To hear the word but not be doers of the word. So again, the command coupled with the why. Why throw off these things? Why receive with meekness the implanted word? As we continue on in verse 21, it says that this is able to save your souls. The result here, the why, is salvation. Being saved from all the things that we once walked in, and now being saved to something, to life with Jesus, to be able to walk in what we were purposed for. You were dead in the sins in which we once walked. And when we understand the weight of the hopelessness of our situation, it makes the gift of Jesus all the more beautiful when we see what he gave to come and redeem us as his people. And when we believe that and we receive this word, the new thing that God is doing through Jesus, the gift of the gospel that he has given us, then it saves our souls. It produces salvation within us, and we walk forward now alive. A theologian named Barclay said this once, that James does well to remind us that which is heard in the holy place, being here, the holy place, must be lived in the marketplace. I'm gonna repeat that first part. James does well in his letter to remind us that what's heard here in the holy place must also be lived in the marketplace. There's no point in hearing at all if this is not lived out. It says, worship is an empty and idle thing unless it sends a man out to love God by loving his fellow men and to walk more purely in the tempting ways of the world. Be doers of the word. Knowing this truth, hearing this truth, having it affect us deeply should prompt us to action and actually obey what God's called us to walk into. So first point, be doers of the word. Second point, be doers of the word. Third point, be doers of the word. Be doers of the word. Be doers of the word. Hearing is just one thing, but doing it, and we're just driving this home tonight. I mean, we are hitting this hard. We're hitting this hard, and there's a reason that this is put in scripture. There's a reason the brother of Jesus talks about this from the very beginning of his letter, that it's important to hear the word and then actually do it. 22 through 25 says, and this is the climactic verse of this section, 22, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. James says, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. James is describing someone who only hears something as someone who looks into a mirror and upon leaving that, forgets completely what he looks like. Which sounds crazy. It sounds bizarre, right? You think of him describing this as looking into a mirror, which all of us, every morning, we're getting up, getting ready for work, and you walk into your bathroom and you're looking in your mirror, and it automatically and immediately reveals all of the things about you from your 8 hours of rest, right? The bedhead, the funky breath. You know, you gotta do a lot to start, you know, changing and fixing up things to get ready for the day. And that's what you do. You start to fix your hair, you start to put on makeup, you shave, whatever you do in the morning to get ready. And you get to work. You start doing those things to get yourself prepared for the day ahead. But what if we just walked into the bathroom in the mornings and looked at the mirror and said to ourselves, huh, good enough. And kind of walked out, got in our car and headed to work. Maybe that's your routine. Maybe that's some of you's routine. I don't know. But that would, for most of us in this room, hopefully all, sound crazy, right? And then what if you just went about the rest of your day, you get to lunchtime, you eat that sandwich, you walk into the bathroom, and you got the pesky piece of spinach stuck in your teeth. You show yourself a big giant smile, and then you're like, well, okay. And then you just walk out of the bathroom and just go on your day. Everyone's noticing that. And only your closest friends are gonna tell you, but everyone's noticing. And that's not a good look, and it's not what we would do, and it sounds crazy, right? You look into a mirror to see the things about you that you would want to change, that you'd want to tweak, maybe you want to work on. The mirror is honest. It's not going to lie to you as much as we wish it would sometimes. Sometimes I wish it was kinder. But it's going to be honest. It's going to share the truth with you unashamedly. It's not going to hide anything. What you see in the mirror is accurate. And it propels us to kind of change and tweak certain things so that we can walk away from the mirror a little different. And in a much grander way, this is the word of God that is being described. The word of God that pierces, not just externally, but all the way to the core of us. Inwardly, it starts to seep in and change everything about us. It cuts straight to the point. It confronts all of the parts of us, the good, the bad, the ugly, and everything in between. It can make us so uncomfortable sometimes because what we are seeing is true representation of what we talked about earlier, that hopelessness and that death that we once walked in, the imperfections about us that show us just how far off we are from the mark. The word of God pierces, and yet it does not leave us in hopelessness. Just as the word of God pierces and shows us how depraved we are, the word of God shows us how saved we are, how beautiful the gift of Jesus is, how far he has gone to come down to earth and to save us and walk with us and build relationship with us. It shows us a new way, a different way, that we can walk forward in freedom. And when we are confronted through the work and the words of Jesus, told and written in scripture, and we walk away from this seemingly unaffected, we are missing the point. We're missing it entirely. We're getting tastes of it, glimpses of it, and yet, what our lives are created for, to reside in and obey the words of God, we're just missing it. You see, God transforms. God moves from the inside out. And yet we're still walking through our days with hair going all in different directions and the lettuce in our teeth. And we're okay with it. we're okay with that. We seem unaffected and we can easily glance at the commands and practices of Jesus and then be okay and content with watered down, half-hearted obedience. The word of God pierces not just half-heartedly, not in a watered down way. And yet we've convinced ourselves that it's okay to live out a faith like that. We're called to something greater. We must fight for something greater. Why? Command and a why. Why be a doer of the word? Why would that be so important? Hearing is powerful. So why put it into action? It says in 25, the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, the law of freedom, the law of grace, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets. Translated out, that scripture is saying being a careless listener, someone that isn't actually taking into consideration the words that are being spoken. So being no careless listener, but being a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. He will be blessed. That word blessed is happy. He will be happy. When we are faithful to the words of God, there is a happiness that is supernatural that is produced in us, that regardless of circumstance, regardless of outcome, we will be blessed. Charles Spurgeon, speaking about this scripture, says, "I fear we have many such in all congregations, admiring hearers, affectionate hearers, attached hearers, but all the while unblessed hearers because they are not doers of the word." Church, are we walking around unblessed? Are we walking around unblessed because we are unwilling to actually put into practice what scripture is calling us into? What's holding us back from that? How can we be stirred and bothered to the point that we're no longer okay with just hearing? We've got to be doers. We want the blessing that God promises. We must not become a sermon appreciation society. We must not become a sermon appreciation society, carelessly listening, forgetting all that we've listened to, walking out these doors and not thinking a second thought about it, and admiring the speaker more than the words spoken. We must not be a society that now puts sermon and words on a pedestal. We have to be a society deeply moved by the work of Jesus. Anything else is too safe. Anything else is entirely ineffective. We've got to be moved to the point where we are laying our lives down as living sacrifices in front of the cross of Jesus, saying, "I'll go wherever, I'll do whatever, I will say whatever, because my God, you're worth it. I've seen my hopelessness, I've seen the depravity in which I once lived, and I've seen how you've saved me from this." We've got to be a society that takes the living word of God seriously and actually acts on it, not just listens. And we will be blessed for this. The blessing James is addressing here isn't comfort. It's not promised safety or lack of persecution, but God's blessings do offer eternal security and intimacy with himself. God's doing a new thing. Ever since he sent his son Jesus, he's doing a new thing. There's a freedom now that we get to walk in. And there's blessing that we get to embrace. Be a doer of the word, and surely we can be used in the kingdom of God for work that is never in vain. Be a doer of the word. Be a doer of the word. Be a doer of the word. Quick to listen to those that you're around. Slow to speak, slow to become angry. Throwing off the things of this world to embrace and receive the implanted word of God, actually walking forward in obedience, actually doing. So I wanna close tonight with so what, like we often do. I'm gonna have two so whats for you. No, they're not. Be doers of the word, in case you're wondering. The first so what is this? Look in the mirror of God's word. Look in the mirror. We gotta be willing to look in the mirror, right? How are we gonna know what it says? How are we gonna learn from it, sit with it, study it, be bothered by it, and apply it if we're not first willing to look into God's word to see what he even calls us to in the first place? Is the loudest voice in your life that's informing your world now, is it something within this world? Some sort of voice that you're hearing from within this world? Or is it the truth from the word of God that stands against the test of time? What is the loudest, most influencing voice in your life today? Are you willing to sit and be uncomfortable to look into the mirror of God's word and then apply it to your lives? And then the second is a question. Where in your life can you go from a hearer to a doer? Living in obedience to God is ultimately what we were created for. When we walk out obedience to him, we live out the purpose that he has for us. Anything else is foolish. Anything else is gonna lead us to a dead end. But when we walk in what we are purposed for, we're living life to the fullest, and it's obedience, it's intimacy, it's relationship. Where in your life can you go from being a hearer to a doer? And my prayer this week is that the words of James would sit heavy on our hearts, that we would actually be so impacted that we can't walk out of here without really looking in and studying, who is God? How can I walk with him? How can I love him? How can I have a relationship with him that's deep and meaningful? Would you pray with me? God, I pray as we enter into this time, just 2 minutes, two short minutes, to be silent, to be still before you, to ponder these things, God. You begin to bring to the surface, in the way that you do, both with incredible love and grace, but also with boldness and clarity, bring to the surface in our lives what we can now lay down at your feet, God, and begin to actually not just hear, but apply. Begin to walk in obedience. Who are the people that we can love more intimately and deeply this week? What are the needs that we can see that we can meet, and that we would have the boldness and the courage to actually move towards those people, those needs, and meet them? Reveal yourself in your word to us this week, God. Show us your heart, your character. That's where it all begins, Lord. When we fall more in love with you, these things are then responses to that. You've saved us out of nothing we've done, nothing we did to deserve it. And I pray our response would just be one of full, flat on our face worship and praise to you, God. You're worth it, you're with us, and we thank you, Jesus. And it's in your name that we pray, amen.